Okay, so bring up the icon that says SQL Plus if you're sitting here at these computers. And I pick T. Then you type in your username. Okay, and my username doesn't have a number, but your username probably does. And then you type in the password. Okay. Okay, and that should then bring up SQL. So you type in your username and your Oracle password. Make sure it's the Oracle password, and that should get you in. If you are working through PuTTY at home, then what you're doing is you type in the Linux password, your username and the Linux password to get into Linux. Then you type the SQL plus 12c.sh that I sent you. Then you type in your username again and your Oracle password. So you're first getting into Linux, then you're typing in to get the script that Eric wrote that gets you into Oracle, and then you're asked for and give the Oracle password. But if you're sitting here, and that's what I will have her go over with you. But when you're sitting here, if you want to just use our SQL Plus, you just click on that and you type your username and password and you're in. Okay. So you can go either way on this. Okay. And now let me get back to here. Once you're at my home page, then the notes and handouts is what we're going over. Okay. And last week we went over create a table, introduction to SQL, and we started SQL conditions. In fact, I went through all of SQL conditions, but I said I was going to come back and look at some of the conditions, and that's what I'm going to do. Okay, so if you scroll down, eventually I get to where I'm combining, and that's where I wanted to come back because some of you have not had the CIS 120. So this is an AND relationship. So what I'm asking there is I want everybody that has a state of Massachusetts and a year goal greater than 100. And if those are both true, then I am going to display the record. Okay, now when you're dealing with Oracle, that's your decision. Your decision is whether or not to display the record. Okay? Because I have the select statement up there, and the select tells me what I want to display if this set of conditions is true. So the select is basically telling you what you want to display. In this case, I wanted to see four different fields, so we'll display those four different fields. But it follows what's in the select. If I get a no to either of these, I do not display. So it does not show up in my list. So if I get a no to either of them, then it's not going to show up in my list. Okay? So that is basically the AND relationship. Okay? Two things both have to be true. So there's only one condition under which I will see both of these print, okay? when you have two conditions, you can have YY, YN, NY, or NN. Those are the conditions that I can get, right? If I have two things, I can have both Ys in which place I display. If I have Y and then the next one gives me a no, I do nothing. So all of the rest of these, I do nothing. It does not appear on the list. If I get a no, I actually never even ask the next question because I say both of them should be true. But if I did ask the next question, then I would respond and do nothing, no matter what the next question gave me, which is why I don't have to ask the next question. If I get no, then it doesn't matter what I had on the second question, I will do nothing. So therefore, since it doesn't matter what I will do, I don't have to ask it. Okay, the second question would go there, but I don't have to ask it since it doesn't matter what the results would be. Questions? The next one down is an OR, and that relationship goes like this, where I said, okay, is it Rhode Island? If it is, then I display. If it's not Rhode Island, then I have a second chance, and the second chance is the year goal less than 100? And if the answer is yes, I display. And if the answer is no, I do nothing. Okay, in programming, lots of times you do not have nothings. In programming, you lots of times have display a message that says doesn't meet the criteria, or you do something in there. But in a select statement, you're basically saying this is what I want to do if the criteria is met. If the criteria isn't met, I have nothing to do. Okay, so you are not asking another question.
Okay, so again, you have the possibilities of YY, YN, NY, NN. And here, if anything is true, okay, I am going to display. So if I get one Y, I am displaying. It's only when I get NN that I do nothing.
So as long as I get one Y, I will display. Now, I never even find out if I'm going to get two Ys, because if I get a Y to the first question up here, I never bother to ask about the second question because I've already got a Y. Okay. But if I put it in there and asked, I would still go in display. But I don't ask about the second question over here because it doesn't matter what I get. If I get a yes to the first question, I'm going to display. It doesn't matter what the second question is. Only if I get a no to the first question do I ask the second question, because then I need to get a Y. And then the third one that I wanted to look at is something has to be true. Okay. So I'm looking at the one here, and then I'll look at the one above it. But I'm looking at this one here. And this one says that year goal has to be greater than 100. And if it is, then I ask about Rhode Island.
And if it is, I display. And if it's not Rhode Island, then I have the second chance of asking if the contact is Amy Costa. And if the contact is Amy Costa, then I display. Otherwise, I've run out of chances, so I do nothing. What I've got there is vehicle greater than 100, I continue. If it's not, I'm done. Because I'm saying the vehicle has to be greater than 100. And either I read the parentheses in this case as either. So I'm saying in either state is Rhode Island, all contact is Amy Costa. So if the year goal is greater than 100, I come down here and say, okay, is it Rhode Island? If it is, I'll display. If it's not, I've got another chance. Is it Amy Costa? If it is, I'll display. Otherwise, I've run out of chances and I'm not going to display. So this has to be true. This has to be true. And then I have either of these two. Okay, so it has to be true, and then either of those two. Now, the reason this works like this is and's are resolved before or's. Okay, and is resolved before or. So, if you look at the example above, which doesn't have the parenthesis, okay, these two will be together because ands are resolved before ors, and this one will stand alone. Because since ands are resolved before ors, the two things around the and get combined. And it says this and this, or just Amy Costa. Okay? If I want to change the order of operation, I use parentheses. Okay? So parentheses change that. So parentheses can change the order of operation. But the order of operation is ands are resolved before ors. Okay? And so the two things around the and get put together and the or stands alone. But if I want to change that, I put in the parenthesis like I did down below. And then I'm saying your goal greater than 100. And the parenthesis read it as either of these two things have to be true. Okay, your job is to ask questions if this doesn't make sense. Yeah?
My question is just with the diagram, how can display is connected to the model?
Okay, you finish off, you start, when you're finishing it off, you take the lowest condition and you connect its yes and it's no. Then you back up one condition and you connect its yes and its no, which has all of this stuff in there, but it comes down here. And then you go to the upper condition and you connect the yes, which is all of that, with the no over there.
Yeah. I was just wondering why we do that.
Convention more than anything else. Readability more than anything else. I have tried to follow the flow charts of innovative people, and I usually get lost because they get very creative and they have lines zigging all over the place and showing how things connect. And it ends up being like programming if you don't organize it. So it's just, you need the structure. So this is a conventional way of doing it, basically. Questions?
On the one without parentheses, if you put the contact equals Amy Costa or your goal is greater than 100 and state equals Rhode Island, it processes
exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Would it make any difference on a database?
No.
We just have to check that one thing?
No. No. In fact, it might be marginally more efficient to have it check the one thing, and if it's done, then it doesn't go on and check the others. When I draw the flowchart for that one, I actually, it's a lot easier, as you just said, if you put the thing that stands alone first. So I frequently do that. So I would say Amy Koster, okay, if it's Amy Koster, I will display. If it's not Amy Costa, then I am going to ask, is it Rhode Island or no?
Your goal.
Your goal, right at 100 first. Okay. Your goal greater than 100. And Rhode Island. And if both of those are true, then I will display. And the no's on these, just I connect the yes and the no, then I back up one, and I connect the yes, which goes through all of this, and the no, and then I back up, and this is supposed to go straight down, but it was not well thrown out. So therefore, we have kind of a strange line going on there. But it's easier to do the flowchart that way. If you don't, you have to ask the Amy Costa question twice in the flowchart. And so, because what you do is, if your goal isn't greater than 100, then I have to check for Amy Costa. And if the state isn't Rhode Island, I have to check for Amy Costa. So it ends up being more complicated. So you end up by saying, okay, your goal greater than 100, and if it is yes, then I ask, is state Rhode Island, and if it's yes, then I display. If the state isn't Rhode Island, then I still have to ask, is it Amy Costa? And if the year goal isn't, then I still have to ask, is it Amy Costa? So I end up having to ask the Amy Costa question twice. Okay, in both cases, Amy Costa gets a display. So I will say, display. And then I have to deal with the notes. So you have to ask the Amy Costa question twice if you're drawing out the logic. So I frequently, if I have something that stands alone, ask that question first because I'm lazy. Okay? And also I just think it makes it clearer. Mm-hmm. It's nice when lazy and clarity go together. questions? Okay, that's what I wanted to go over in this handout. The other thing the handout deals with is not, I avoid not like the plague. If you can possibly write something without not, it is a lot clearer to everybody in code and everything else. There are times when you may have to write not, but I go out of my way to avoid using not because it just isn't clear to people. Okay, if it's not this and not that, becomes complex. Okay, so that covers the first three handouts. Okay, the introduction to SQL, create a table, and SQL conditions. Working with SQL, I'm going to temporarily skip. You can take a look at it, but I'm going to skip it and come back to it. And we're going to go on because I think it's important to get into the maintaining a table. So we're going to look at maintaining. Okay. So what I'm doing when I'm maintaining a table is I've got an insert, an update, and a delete. Okay. And even though I align this, the camera up there is a little bit off. And so there. Now it lines up all right, right?
What thing are you in?
Maintaining a table. Okay, so there are three ways to maintain the data. And this is maintaining the data. So I should write that. Maintaining a table, this is about the data. Okay. There are also commands that you can use to maintain the structure. So a table has two parts. It has a structure, and you can change the structure with the alter command. Okay? And we'll get to that. So the structure can be changed with the alter command. The data can be changed with the insert, update, and delete. So what we're looking at here is maintaining data. Okay, if you want to maintain structure, you're going to use the alter command. Okay. So, in this example, I created a table, and it's got an ID number, an item name, a price, a purchased, which is a date field, and the department, which is two characters. Okay. Then I went on and I said, okay, now I'm going to describe this table. And now I'm going to do the insert, which is what we've already done. We did the insert, and the insert puts values into the table. So I'm saying insert into maintain, and I'm putting in the values in order. So the first one is the item number, the next one is the item name, then I have the price, the purchased, and the department. So I'm putting them all in order. Okay, so when you do the insert, you have to do them in the structure, the same as the structure. In other words, you have to insert them in the same order as the structure. If you don't say anything inside the insert. Now, if you look at the example right below this, I said insert into maintain, and I only wanted to fill these three fields, ID number, item name, department. I'm not putting anything into the other fields. So I put item number first, 234. Item name, dump truck. Department, TY. And you can see it puts in an item number, an item name, and a department, and it skips the price and the purchased. Okay. So, if I have data, for example, a student, I fill in at the beginning of the semester who you information about the courses you're taking, but I don't have a grade for you. So I would be just entering in the course that you're taking, that information, and I'd be leaving grade empty. And then later on, I'll go in and put in the grade. Okay? So, essentially, you can do an insert into fields that you select. And if you do that, then you have to put them in parentheses so it knows what fields you're using. Okay? So that lets you go in there and create a record that does not have all of the fields. Okay, now you could have done it with all the fields and just put null in for the fields that you didn't want anything to go into. But it's easier, I think, to just choose the fields you want to do. Okay, then the update lets you make changes. So I said here with the update, update maintain, set the price equal to 15, where the ID is 234. So I went in and found my 234 and set the price equal to 15. Okay? If I did not use the where clause there, then everything I have in my inventory would now sell for $15. Okay, because I said update maintain set price equal to 15. So if I forget the where clause there, everything is now selling for $15. Okay, which may be a very big problem. So the where clause is critical there. Okay. I can also maintain two things. I can make changes to two things. So I can say set the price equal to $15.95, purchase to that, where ID is 234, and it fills in both of those. And I could have done it for three fields or four fields. I can maintain as many fields as I want. Okay. So I am doing the update. And if I want to delete a record, I just say delete from maintain where the ID equals, and I pick the ID. So I added a record up here. I did an insert and added a record with an ID 235. Now I am deleting the record with an ID of 235. Okay. And it's been deleted.
That's where you're really in trouble if you forget the where clause.
Yeah. You just wiped out your entire... Yes.
Does it give you a warning or anything?
No.
It doesn't.
Surprise! The first thing I always do is back up my data, and we'll take a look at that since I am logged in. I have a table out here. I don't know my table names. So I can say select, and you might take this down, table name, I think it's table name, from user tables. Okay, and that gives me my tables. So if you write select table name from user tables, and I'm going to take a picture of that, so if you... don't write it down, it's going to be out on the notes too. But select table name from user tables gives you a list of all of the tables that you have. If you don't remember what you call your tables, and I frequently don't remember what I call my tables. Okay. I've obviously done a lot first 2015s up there.
When they created this new one, they did not copy my old tables over, so I have very few tables over there.
Usually I have a lot more than that. And sometime I'm going to have to copy them and get them in. Okay. And actually, while we're at it, if you do a DESC, of user tables, it will show you the other things that you can actually find out about user tables, and it goes on and on forever. Okay? But user tables have a whole lot of things. The main thing is the table name. But if I do a DESC on user tables, I see a lot. Okay, so if I go in here and let's see, first 2015. Let's see what I've got there. Just one thing, okay? Select asterisk from first fall 2015. No rows, all right? Select asterisk from F 2015. I'm looking for one. Oh, good. I finally found one where I put in more than one record. Okay. So this one has an ID, a name, a state, and a GPA. So again, I can do maintenance on this by just sitting here and saying, okay, I want to update. Okay, and so let me go back up. Okay, so there it is, and that's what you're going to be looking at. I like to show the example at the same time I'm doing it. So I'm saying update F2015, and I'm saying set, and let's say I'll say GPA equal to 2.8, where ID number equals 123. Okay. And it tells me that one row has been updated, and if I do a select asterisk from F2015, I see that she now has a GPA of 2.8. Okay, she had a bad semester. And you can go in and create a record, and you can go in and delete a record. So I can do an insert here, and I can do a delete if I want to get rid of a record. Okay. So I can say insert into maintain values 222, comma, Q.
You're putting it in a different table?
You're right. I was copying too much. I can't. If I hit that table, I could, but it's going to tell me that I'm missing that table. Sorry. Insert into F2015. And then I said what values 222, comma, and then I'm just going to put a Q for the name, and I'm going to put, what else do I have? Major is also going to be a Q, and GPA is going to be a 2, and I'm done, and I've now created a record, and I can say select asterisk from, and it is F2015. Okay. And there's the record I just added. And now if I go down and look at the delete, it says delete from. So I'm saying delete from. And notice that it is not case sensitive. When you are writing commands and everything. It is case sensitive if you have something inside quotes. If I'm trying to match something inside quotes, that's case sensitive. But I have my examples over here. I have the word delete capitalized. Here I don't. When I'm being good, I tend to write the Oracle words in capital and my words in lowercase, which is a convention a lot of people use. So I have the select from is in uppercase, and the name of my table is lowercase. The delete from is in uppercase, the name of the table is in lower, where is in upper, and ID is in lower. A lot of people use that convention. When I'm up here, I don't. If I'm doing it at home, I frequently do. It just takes a little more thought to remember what case I'm in and so forth. Okay. So that allows me to delete, and if I now go in and say select asterisk from F2015, I see that the record got deleted. Okay. So, basically, that is maintaining the data. Then we come down, and the alter command is used to maintain the structure. And I did a few of the things on the alter. I also asked you in the homework to look up a few other alters that you could do and do them. Because it's good to look up the alter command and see the stuff that you can do. So I said alter maintain, I wanted to add a field called cost. So I said alter the table maintain, add cost, and here's what it looked like. And so it added in the field called cost. Okay, so I'm altering the structure of the table here. Okay, I'm going in and altering the table structure and putting in a field called cost. Okay. So if I wanted to go back into this one and say alter table F2015, I want to add a field called num courses or num credits. Num credits, and it's going to be a number. I can't spell. A number and 3 is enough. Okay. And I should have had parentheses around that. Missing right parenthesis. Why am I missing a right parenthesis? Okay. Huh. Alter table F2015. Add, and I have it there, that add num credits, which is going to be a number. And it's going to be 3 characters. Table altered. Okay. So now if I do a DESC of the table, I am seeing num credits in there.
Okay. Now obviously there's no data in num credits, so if I want to get data into num credits, I can say update table F2015 set num credits equal to 3. And where ID number equals 111.
Okay, invalid table name. That's because I wrote table. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wrote the word table. Okay, one row updated. So now if I do a select asterisk from F2015, I am going to see that that person now has number of privates. Nobody else does. Okay, so I have to go in and do it for everybody else. Hello.
Can you tell me where I sat yesterday?
Sure. Well, no, because somebody's sitting there.
I forgot something yesterday.
Well, you can come back after class. Okay. So, questions? So down below, I have an alter modify, and I said alter modify the name character. So if I didn't have enough characters in a field, okay, I decided that I didn't have enough characters in the field, so I wanted to change item name and make item name 12 characters. So I now did the modify, and I can make it 12 characters. Now, obviously, there's a problem if you try to decrease the number of characters such that you'll lose data. Okay? So if I go in here and I say alter table F2015, actually, before I do that, this is the statement, create F2015BK as select asterisk from F2015. Sorry, I create table F2015BK as select asterisk from F2015. Okay, I've now created a backup table. So I said create table F2015BK. I just call it BK. You can call it anything you want. As select asterisk from F2015. So if I go in here and do a select asterisk from F2015, that's what I get. And if I do a select asterisk from F2015BK, I get exactly the same thing. So I've made a copy of the table so that if I mess up, I can go get it back. Okay, I've got a copy of it. And I always do that. When I create a table, I immediately make a copy of it so that I am all set. And remember, commit commits it. Again, I haven't been using commit up here. It's been working just fine. Some of you have probably not used commit and it works fine. Others of you have lost things when you don't use commit. Okay, it should be committing automatically. That's the way the world is supposed to work. But the world doesn't always work the way it's supposed to work. So commit will commit it. And I put a note like that on the page. So now, if I want to, I can go in and say alter table F2015... modify, let's go with name, modify names and make it a bear care 5. And it says cannot decrease the column length because some value is too big. And that's a good thing. It does not let you go in and do a change like that. That would mean you lose data.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why does it cut the zero off on the front?
Because it's where has it
been? It's not there, but like when I was making the database and.
If you make it a character field, it will cut off the zero at the front. If you make it a numeric field, it won't.
All right, maybe that's what I did. Because I did it for the zip code.
Yes, yes. And zip code is always done. That's true, actually, in every database that I can think of, that you better make zip code a character field so that it will keep the zero. Because in numbers, leading zeros aren't worth anything.
All right, so it's supposed to be the opposite.
So it should be a varchar field, varchar 2 field, because then if you make it a varchar 2 field, it thinks of it as character and the zero is kept.
Okay.
Numbers, it gets rid of leading zeros because they're not needed. Okay, so you get to try the alter.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can't decrease it. However, if I went in and said alter table F2015... modify names and make it a varchar 2 for 30. Whoops. It alters it just fine. And if I do a DESC of F2015, I see that it's now up to 30. Okay. I don't remember whether it was 20 or 25 before, but it was something I was going to do. So, it does not let you alter a table such that you would knowingly lose data. So that it makes that correction for you and doesn't let you do it. And that's a good thing.
If you've made your backup file, and then you do some stuff and you want to back it up, and so you change the size and stuff, do you just create a new backup file with
yeah.
a completely new name?
Yeah.
And then get
or else you can get rid
date.
Of the old one by doing a drop. Drop gets rid of the tables themselves.
Oh.
And so you can get rid of a table using a drop, and then you can recreate the name. You can say create table F2015 from as and take it from the backup. And put
you're
it back.
Worried about dropping your table before you back up the other one.
Then you kind of have to give it another name.
Can you rename? Like,
yes.
Can you make it one with a new name, then drop the old
yes.
backup, and then rename
yes.
it?
Yes. Although, if I'm paranoid, what I usually do is make the copy and call it F2015 SCAD.
There you go.
And then I've got it, and then I can not drop it. Then I can drop it. So
drop is just drop table and the table.
Right? Yes.
So
yeah.
So what if you're, say, doing something online where you're allowing other people to add values? Is it possible they can add the value drop table, whatever, and...
It tends to keep track of who's on first, and so it doesn't let somebody do a modification to something that is already being modified. But if they do it in sequence, yeah. If they're trying to do it at the same time, the one that started first wins. But that's not usually the problem. Usually the problem is 5 minutes later, theirs goes through or something like that. You know, it's rare that you get them exactly at the same moment. But yes, the last one there wins. Now, what you usually do is you set up privileges, and you've got total privilege on your particular data that you created, so you're all set. But you set up in a company privileges, so only certain people are allowed to do maintenance. The average person that is allowed to look at your data and select and look at and all the rest doesn't have privileges to do maintenance. Okay, and you limit your people that can do maintenance. Okay, as I said, there are a whole lot of things you can do with alter. And I left it as I did some examples here, but then on your homework assignment, I've said go look up the alter and do this, and go look up the alter and do that. And basically just take a look at alter and see all of the things that you can do with it. Okay, so if you go in and just do a search on Oracle alter, you know, you'll find all of the information about it.
questions? There's a lot of blogs that do Oracle. Some of them do it well, some of them do it terribly. I found a lot of the blogs that will basically say, oh yeah, you do it this way, and no, it doesn't work that way. So just be careful when you go to the blogs, especially. Try it. Don't assume that the person that has made the entry is any more knowledgeable than you are. Okay, just be careful of that. And I don't know why, but I've seen more in the Oracle ones than I see in some other things. Okay, the next thing that we're going to look at is SQL functions. And this is incredibly boring. So, we only have about 15 minutes, and then I'll bore you a little bit more on Thursday with it. Because it's just basically a list of all of the things that you can do. These are Oracle functions that are provided. Functions are used in Oracle to do all of the manipulate, modify, and all that good stuff. When I started programming, languages didn't have functions. And so if I wanted to change something to lowercase, I literally had to go through and set up an array of all of the characters and one by one change an A, capital A, to a lowercase a, and all of that kind of stuff. Okay? You don't have to do that anymore. You can just use a function called upper. And every programming language has some kind of a function called upper or a function called lower that converts to upper and lowercase. Okay? You also have initial capital, which converts to have the first alphabetic character of each word in uppercase. You've got trimming, where you can trim off blanks to the left or the right. You've got padding, where you can pad things. Concatenate is like the concatenate symbol that we've already looked at. This concatenates two fields. The pipe concatenate you can use as much as you want. And you did that in the first assignment where I had you concatenating multiple things together using the pipe. Substring takes a part of a field. Instring finds a character in a field. Length finds the length. Replaces something. And SoundX is kind of interesting because it will take something and look for something that sounds like it. So some things are not terribly well spelled, and it will look and replace on a sound, and I've got something in there that does that. Dual is something that I use in a lot of these, and I will show you down here what I did that. DES dual. Dual is a dummy field that they set up for you. And it has a bare care to of one character. So if I want to test something, and I have to have the from clause when I test. But if I don't have a table out there that I want to test on or that's relevant, I can just say from dual. Okay? So, if I say, as I did in this example, we'll look at dual first. DESC dual. Okay, dual is got one field in it called dummy, and it's a one character field. Okay, if I want to, I can actually change that. So, if I say select asterisk from dual, I get, apparently it has an X in it. Okay, so I can see here, this is dual, it just shows it as D because it's a one character field, so it doesn't write out the whole name. And it's got an X in it. So if I want to check and see if dummy equals X, I could do that. Or if I wanted to change dummy to A, I could do that. Actually, I'm not sure I can. I've never tried that. And it may have limitations as to what it will let me do. So what I did here was I tested things. I wanted to see how initial cap would work. So I said, test the initial cap, and I'll put Bristol in there. Okay? And then from dual, because I have to have the from clause. And it went in, and it changed the initial letter to a capital B. Okay? So just testing these, dual is a nice way to be able to test and see how they work. Okay, and that's its main purpose, is it's a testing thing that you can use like this. Okay, so I did the upper and the lower conversions using dual. And then I went in and said, okay, I'm going to take the name and convert it to upper. I'm going to take the street address and convert it to lower. And I'm going to have the state and convert it to initial caps. And I did that. And again, this has not touched the data. If I were to go in now and look at the data is the way it was originally. This does not touch the data. The only thing that I can do that's going to change the data is the update. Okay, so I'm not touching the data at this point. Okay. And then I said, okay, do the test where I said where the uppercase version of city is equal to, and I put in the capital letters so that it would compare capital to capital. The trimming takes things off. The padding, I padded with asterisks. So sometimes you want to do that if you're putting out financial information. You want to pad with asterisks. I concatenated two things together. Okay, this is where it starts getting interesting, the substring. Okay, so substring 4-3. So I said, look at the date, and I want to get substring 4-3. Okay. So that means here's the date, and then I also just printed the date out as it was originally. I went in 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the fourth character, and I took 3. Okay. So if I come in here, and I've got select asterisk from F2015. And I say, okay, I'm going to go into name. So I'm going to say select substring. And then I'm going to use name. And I'm going to say I want to start with the fourth letter and take 3. And then I'm going to also put out name, the whole name. Yeah, from F2015. Okay, so I went in and took the fourth character. So I counted in, and it's going 1, 2, 3. That's the fourth character, so I take that, and I take the next 3, so I get AM space. With Stephen, I went 1, 2, 3, 4, start with P, take 3 characters, I get PHE. This is starting and counting with 1. You always have to, substring works in a whole load of things, but you always have to check and see how does it count. Is it counting starting with 0, or is it counting starting with 1? Okay, and this is a way of testing and finding that out by putting the 4-3 in there and looking to see if the 4 gets me the fourth character, or if it starts counting at 0, does it get me the fifth character? Okay. And you always have to try to figure that out. So you can now go in and get a part of the field.
and I went into the fourth character and took out three.
Now, where does this kind of thing become important? If you've got an ID that has important things in it, so the ID has a department code in it, it has something else in it, it has something else in it, you want to extract the department code. The department code always starts at character 4 and goes for 2 characters. So you can go 4, 2. Okay? So that allows you to go into a field and extract data. Okay? And we will play around with that some more and do some more examples of it. Okay, so that is in the string. Okay, the next thing is length, and that will just tell me the length of the field. And there's a bunch of things where you want to know how many characters are in the field, so you can use length, and that tells me the length. Okay. I can also do a replace. And so I can say select, replace, major, comma, and let's say CI with IT. And it's now got IT, IT, IT. But if I go back and look at the data, I see that it's still, the data has not been changed. Okay, I changed it for the purposes of this report. But the data itself has not been changed. So I did a replace, but the replace doesn't truly replace the data. It just replaces it for the purposes of this report. So if I wanted to take a code and print out a whole word or something, and I could do that depending on the length. Actually, I'm not sure what it would do, what it would say if I'm curious now. Select, replace, major, comma, CI, comma, computer. From F2015. And it did the replace. Okay. I wondered what it would do when I picked something that was bigger than the field. Because I didn't remember what it did when I did that. And it did it just fine. Because again, it's doing it for the purposes of the report. Okay. So that was kind of interesting. And then the last one is the sound. And that's what I said is select city from Dora, where the sound is like Seacock. And I spelled it as S-E-A-C-O-N-C. Okay, and it went and found Seacock. So it actually was able to do the sound and say, okay, this should come up with S-E-E-K-O-N-K, which is kind of interesting. I'm not sure I trust it totally, but it worked in this case. Okay, the ones that follow, there's a bunch of numbers, there's a bunch of dates. We'll look at some of those, and we'll do that next class because I have hit the saturation on what we're going to do with functions. We'll take a look at a few of the numbers and a few of the characters, and then we'll move on to the next thing. So, we are all set. Questions? Okay. I've gotten the first assignment from some of you. I've sent it back to some of you. Be careful with 6 and 7. They're a little tricky. In 6, I want the J-O in both the first and the last name. And some of you gave it to me only in the first name or only in the last name. And in the 7, it's just plain tricky. So play around with that a little. Okay, I'm done. Carolyn will be here at 2 this afternoon if you have problems.